I'm Anderson Cooper. Thanks for watching the podcast. Here's the latest on the Washington shooter. Standing in southeast Washington, just down the street from the Washington Navy Yard, where at 8:20 this morning, a gunman shot and killed a dozen people and wounded several more before being fatally shot himself. There is a lot more we are learning about the shooter, Aaron Alexis, who he was, how he committed this massacre. We're learning from an FBI source that Alexis recently bought the AR-15 assault rifle that he used at a gun store in Northern Virginia. In addition, we're getting new pictures of him taken by a friend of his at the Texas Thai restaurant where he once worked, where people described him as easygoing and talkative, where he was working apparently without pay and learning to speak the Thai language. Chief National Correspondent John King joins me now. So what are the new details we're hearing?
Number one, when you hear the account we're getting from law enforcement sources about how they believe this played out this morning, it's quite chilling. Mr. Alexis had a government ID as a contractor, military ID, worked for HP, did IT contracting for the Navy, was allowed to drive right onto the base. Apparently, sources are telling us, showed his ID, was waved onto the base. When he got onto the base, he parked his car, and then they believe just methodically and calmly walked into the building carrying an AR-15, semi-automatic weapon, a rifle as well, and a Glock handgun. They believe three weapons involved, and they believe he just proceeded methodically, went upstairs to a higher location, looked down in the atrium, and just opened fire.
Talking to Commander Kirk Lippold, who's worked in that area and been on the base and in that building, there was another layer of security inside that building where the gunman entered. We don't know if that's where the shooting began or if he was able to get through that security.
And those are going to be the profound questions. It is still an active crime scene. It's just steps away from here. And as of just an hour ago, I was told some people were still in there because before anybody could leave, the thousands of workers who were in there, they had to be interviewed on the way out. And obviously it's a crime scene as well. They're gathering evidence. And that will be one of the big questions. How, on what is often described as one of the most secure sites in Washington, D.C., a military installation, number one, were the force protection level so low that because he had an ID, he's allowed to drive in without them popping the trunk, without them searching the car at all. Apparently that was the case today. And then number two, how do you walk into this building? People carrying weapons, obviously. They'll look at the surveillance video. They're talking to the eyewitnesses involved, others in the building. And then there are bigger questions and more profound questions. When you look at his history,
right.
A gun incident in Seattle back in 2004, then he joins the military, a gun incident in Fort Worth, Texas in 2010, where part of the reason he leaves the military, and then somehow he is able to still work, even though he leaves the military after some disciplinary issues, somehow allowed to still get a job as a government contractor. And still, despite the fact that there are police records, here's the Seattle record from 2004 where he fired into the tires of some contractors that he was having an issue with. He believed they were mocking him. So he has this issue. And his father told the Seattle Police Department he had some PTSD issues that his father said were involved being in New York City on 9/11. Now, that's what his father said. We haven't been able to piece together that part of his life just yet. But
He wasn't in the military at that point. He didn't join the military until 2007.
Right. Just a question of whether he was living in New York. His family is originally from Brooklyn, whether he was in New York and somehow involved, or whether that was what was said, or whether that's family lore. But one of the questions that is already being asked by members of Congress is if you can go on the Internet and in a matter of minutes find out he had this incident in Seattle, he had another incident in Fort Worth, both involving guns, no injuries to people. But he shot through the floor of his apartment in Fort Worth, shot tires out of a car in Seattle. If you can find that within minutes, and in the police report you have a family member saying he has some sort of PTSD issues, then how is it? What is wrong with the government oversight that this gentleman is able to get a military-level ID as a contractor that allows him access to an installation like that?